And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans, which is brought to you by the Till the Kill in Frederick, Maryland. The Till the Kill Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, comes at a Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kill girls. For more on Till the Kill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And ladies and gentlemen, today is December 2nd. We are technically officially back from a hiatus that was led by chaos of travel and cons and MCW pro wrestling, but things have finally calmed down. We are finally back on a regular schedule here again on the Experience Hockey Talk, and with some big news as we go throughout the night, we'll be announcing more things today. But first, on Black Friday, I was at the Capitals Buffalo Sabres game for Black Friday. So without further ado, what I'm going to do is, even though it was already live via SoundCloud when I was at the game, we're going to replay that for you here today on the Experience Hockey Talk. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at the Caps game the next day against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans, live from the Verizon Center for this Black Friday matchup between the Washington Capitals and the Buffalo Sabres. And we are brought to you by the Till the Kill in Frederick, Maryland. The Till the Kill Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come see the world famous Till the Kill girls and many others for your cat viewing pleasure. And for more information, go to facebook.com/TillTheKillFrederick for more information. And like I said, we're here for the Buffalo Sabres versus the Washington Capitals live at the Verizon Senators. And for the lineups for the Buffalo Sabres, you have Marcus Foligno with Ryan O'Reilly and Kyle Okposo, Evander Kane with Johan Larson and Brian Gionta, William Carrier with Cal O'Reilly and Sam Reinhart, Zygmunt Jurgensen with Derek Grant and Matt Molson. Your defensive pairings for Buffalo is Josh Georges with Rasmus Ristolainen, Jake McCabe with Cody France, and Justin Falk with Taylor Fedden, and Anders Nielsen in the net. For the Washington Capitals, you have Marcus Johansson with Nicholas Backstrom and Justin Williams, Alex Ovechkin with Genny Kuznetsov and Nadia Burakovsky, Zach Sandfer with Jay Beagle and Brett Connolly, Daniel Wick with Lars Eller and Tom Wilson, Dmitry Orlov with John Carlson, Carl Alzner and Matt Niskanen, and Brooks Orpik with Taylor Chorney, and Philip Grubauer starting in net today, the first game of also a back-to-back for the Capitals. The keys for the Washington Capitals is they need to get an early jump and sustain the momentum throughout the full 60 minutes against the Buffalo Sabres. The Buffalo Sabres may be 7-8-5, but they're no team that they can take lightly. So for also, and speaking of that, the Capitals can't underestimate the Buffalo Sabres. Yes, they have been injury-riddled, but they are now starting to get healthy and also are on the verge of getting Jack Eichel into the lineup finally this season. So for the Washington Capitals, the Capitals need to take the Buffalo Sabres very seriously and take this game and play a full 60 minutes. You can't have like what happened against St. Louis the other night where they're up 4-1 and then all of a sudden give up two sudden goals near the end of the game. Like I said, we're here live at the Verizon Center. We'll give you more information throughout the day. And as always, our intermission period stats. So we'll be back with more live here from the Verizon Center here for Caps and Sabres. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans, live from the Verizon Center here for the Capitals and the Buffalo Sabres here on Black Friday. In the first period, the first 2.5 minutes was a feeling out process for both teams. Taylor Chorney got a good shot off to generate a good chance. Tom Wilson was able to get the stick on it. He probably would have been able to score the goal on that sequence. But then later on, it was followed by a great sequence by Marcus Johansson and Justin Williams. But Anders Nielsen would make a wonderful save to stop the play dead. And then at 5:08 into the first period, Daniel Winnick would score his third of the season from Brett Connolly and Lars Eller, both their first assists as Washington Capitals. Then at 7:43, Justin Williams would be called for goalie interference. Then there would be some back and forth between the two teams, but the Cavs generate a really good scoring opportunity, and a scrum would then ensue after the whistle. Then after that, Zach Sandfer would have an amazing deke on the defender to get a breakaway, but Anders Nielsen once again with an amazing save against the Capitals. The Capitals would then continue to generate more solid scoring chances, but Anders Nielsen would continue to stand tall for the Buffalo Sabres. Then at 17:56, Marcus Foligno would get called for interference. Cats would have the power play to end the period, which they would not score on at all. at the end of the first period. It'll be Washington 1, Buffalo nothing. Shots for 12-6 in favor of the Cavs. Faceoffs for 12-10 in favor of the Capitals. Hits for 10-3 in favor of the Cavs. And both teams are 0-1 on the faceoff. Overall, this was a good period for the Washington Capitals. They were they outshot, outhit, and they were good in the faceoff circle. They're generating some really good scoring chances when they were. Key thing is that the Cavs need to keep the pedal to the metal. They need to continue to put the pressure on the Buffalo Sabres. This is a team that's still without Jack Eichel. They have guys returning from injury who are still getting their legs underneath him. So for the Washington Capitals, you want to be continuing to put the pressure on, and you don't want to take it relaxed. Get a couple, maybe get another goal or two, and that would be really good for the Washington Capitals. So with that, that is the first intermission here at the Washington Capitals game against the Buffalo Sabres. We'll be back for more during the second intermission. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans, which is brought to you by the Till Kill in Frederick, Maryland. The second period is over here at the Verizon Center between the Washington Capitals and the Buffalo Sabres. It was a very strong hit by Brooks Orpik to disrupt the Sabres' break into the cap zone to start the period. And then which then led into a scoring opportunity for the Capitals. Then also a poor breakout by Buffalo led to a great chance for the Caps 3 minutes into the period. Then at 5:40, Johan Larsson of the Buffalo Sabres will be called for slashing. On this power play, the Capitals would get some very interesting looks and chances, but were unable to score on the power play. And then washing out an icing call, the Cavs had a great opportunity but got too cute with the puck in the Buffalo Sabre zone, which then led to the Sabres being able to clear the zone. Then at 13:25, Marcus Johansson would score his eighth of the season, which would be unassisted. And then at 17:23, Taylor Fedon of the Buffalo Sabres would be called for holding. And then at 19:28, Brett Connolly would be called for hooking. At the end of the second period, the Washington Capitals will be up 2-0. Shots were 25-18 in favor of the Cavs. Faceoffs were 24-23 in favor of Buffalo. Hits were 16-8 in favor of the Cavs. And the power play, the Cavs are 0-3, and Buffalo is 0-1 with their second in progress. Overall, this was an okay period for the Washington Capitals. There was a lot of back and forth between the two teams. What the Capitals need to do is they need to focus on the Buffalo Sabres and pressuring them and keeping the play in their zone. The Cavs are playing good, but they can play a lot better, so they need a strong 20 minutes to finish off the Buffalo Sabres. And then, of course, for the Sabres, they need to continue weathering the storm. Anders Nielsen is keeping them in this game. This could be a completely different game if it wasn't for Anders Nielsen. So for the Washington Capitals, they need to get better, kill off this penalty to start the period, and then if they can create a chance, opportunity, score on the power play if they can get another one. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, we'll be back from this break, and we'll have final thoughts here from the Verizon Center. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans, brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. And the game has ended. The Washington Capitals have won 3-1. And how do we get there? Well, in the very beginning at 6:34, Alex Ovechkin will be called for tripping. This would actually be the best power play opportunity for the Buffalo Sabres, but the Capitals were able to kill it off with shot blocking. Then Nicholas Backstrom had an amazing wraparound opportunity, but Anders Nielsen was able to make the save on Nicholas Backstrom. Then at 9:58, Sam Reinhart would score for the Buffalo Sabres, his fourth of the season from Colin Pozo and Cody Franzen. And then at 12:07, Andrei Burakovsky would be called for delay of game due to accidentally shooting the puck over the net. This was a very strong penalty kill for the Washington Capitals. Buffalo was not able to generate much offense on this opportunity. Then at 15:40, Buffalo's bench would be called for too many men on the ice, which would be served by Sam Reinhart. And then at 16:05 on the power play, Brett Connolly would score his second of the season from Alex Ovechkin and Andrei Burakovsky, their fifth and eighth of the season, respectively. The Sabres would then pull their goalie with 2 minutes left in the period and put up a major fight to hold. And would put up a major fight, but the Capitals would go on to hold the 3-1 lead and win this game 3-1. At the end of the game, the Caps won 3-1. Shots were 33-32 in favor of Buffalo. Faceoffs were 37-30 in favor of Buffalo. Hits were 19-12 in favor of the Caps. And on the power play, Buffalo's 0-4 and the Caps were 1-4. This was a good game for the Washington Capitals. They didn't probably play the best 60 minutes full on, but they still played a very good game overall. So with that, we'd like to thank our sponsor, the Tilkill in Frederick, Maryland. Tilkill at 5605 Spectrum Road in Frederick, Maryland. Come see the world-famous Tilkill Girls. For more information, go to Facebook today. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be signing off and Twitter at Experience Hockey and on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk. And until next time, we'll see you on the ice. Looking for hockey cards to build your collection or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And we are back to the actual recording here at the X75 Production Studio. As you heard, that was the Caps-Buffalo Sabres game at the Verizon Center on Black Friday. Now we're going to take a look at the game that was the very next day in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, as the Washington Capitals took on the Toronto Maple Leafs for Hockey Night in Canada. Your lineups for the Washington Capitals was Marcus Johansson, Nicholas Backstrom, and Justin Williams, Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Andrei Burakovsky, Zach Sanford with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, Daniel Winnick with Lars Eller and Brett Connolly. On defense, you had Dmitry Orlov with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Nate Schmidt, and Braden Holtby in the net. For the Toronto Maple Leafs, they had James Van Riemsdyk with Tyler Bozak and Mitch Mariner, Leo Komarov with Nazem Kadri and Nikita Shostnichnikov, Zach Hyman with Austin Matthews and Connor Brown, Matt Martin with Ben Smith and Peter Holland. On defense was Morgan Riley with Nikita Zaitsev, Jake Gardner with Connor Carrick, and Matt Hunwick with Roman Polak, and in Frederick Anderson in the net. And in the first period, it was Matt Martin getting on the board early at 2:35 with his second of the season for Mitch Marner and Tyler Bozak. Followed that with a penalty by Brooks Orpik for hooking at 4:21. Then Nicholas Backstrom being called for holding at 8:11. Then Justin Williams being called for high sticking at 13:58. At the end of the first period, Toronto would be up 1-0. Shots were 15-6 in favor of Toronto. Faceoffs were 12-8 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 11-7 in favor of the Caps. On the power play, the Caps did not have one, whereas Toronto was 0-3. This was not a very good period for the Capitals. They were beaten early and got caught by Toronto's speed, resulting in penalties against the Caps. The Caps need to find a way to slow down the Maple Leafs. They also need to play more disciplined for the remaining 40 minutes. Going into the second period, at 2 minutes 49 seconds into the second, Carl Alsner would be called for holding. On that power play at 3:28, James Van Riemsdyk would score his 9th of the season from Nikita Shostnikov and Mitch Marner. Then at 7:33, Zach Hyman would be called for holding. Then at 9:09, Leo Komarov would be called for hooking. At 13:52, Nazem Kadri would be called for roughing. And then at 16:10, Dmitry Orlov would be called for boarding. At the end of the second period, Toronto would be up 2-0. Shots were 26-20 in favor of Toronto. Faceoffs were 27-16 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 17-12 in favor of the Caps. And power play was 0-3 for Washington and 1-5 for Toronto. This was a slightly better period for the Caps, but the Maple Leafs were still the better overall team. The Caps still had trouble containing Toronto's speed and were not very effective on the power play. The Caps need to play a perfect and disciplined 20 minutes of hockey if they hope to generate any true chances against the Maple Leafs. They also need to capitalize on their opportunities. Then going into the third period, 22 seconds into the period, Austin Matthews would score his 9th of the season from Matt Hunwick and Zach Hyman. Matt Martin would then get a 5-minute major for fighting along with Tom Wilson at 6:30. At 9:30, Nicholas Backstrom would score his 6th of the season, which was unassisted. But then at 11:50, Nazem Kadri would score his 9th of the season from Leo Komarov and Morgan Riley. Matt Hunwick would then be called for hooking at 12:30, and at 16:44, Marcus Johansson would score his 9th of the season from Nicholas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin, their 14th and 6th of the season, respectively.
Toronto will go on to win 4-2. Shots were 37-35 in favor of Toronto. Faceoffs were 41-26 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 26-23 in favor of the Caps. Power play was 0-4 and 1-5 for the Caps and Maple Leafs, respectively. This was a brutal game for the Washington Capitals. I wholeheartedly disagree with what Alan Mays said on CSN after the game, which is you just burn the tape. No, you keep that tape. Because quite honestly, Toronto was utilizing their speed the entire game and the Capitals could not keep up. You keep that tape and you use that tape to study what you can do to slow down teams like a Toronto Maple Leafs, like an Edmonton Oilers, and like these other teams that are utilizing their speed against the Washington Capitals. You do not burn or throw away the tape. That is stupid and idiotic. It's not how you get better, even if you want to claim it as a throwaway game. There's no such thing as a throwaway game. So that was just plain stupid. So, with that, the Caps ended up getting 4 days off. So what we're going to do is next, we're going to do an interview that was conducted on Wednesday, which is for air tonight. And then we're going to do some NHL news and notes. Then we're going to talk about the Caps Islanders game that took place last night and talk about some news and notes that happened today as well. So ladies and gentlemen, with that said, we'll be back from the break. And when we come back, we'll have a very special interview. After the break. Looking for that fun thing to do with the family? Then come to AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 16th through 18th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Nolan North, David Hayter, and many more. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to awesome-con.com. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And we are now going to do some NWHL talk, which is brought to you by Farpoint. Farpoint, which is February 17th through 19th, 2017 at the Radisson Hotel, North Baltimore in Timonium, Maryland. Come see special guests Sam Witwer, Enver Jokai, and many more. For more information, go to farpointcon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, joining me now is Buffalo Butte's goaltender, Breanne McLaughlin. Breanne, welcome on to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Now, you get the honor of being the first NWHL player interview for this season. Last season, we were trying to get you on because you're player of the week, going into an all-star game. For you, what was last season like for you?
Last season was a little bit of a whirlwind. I think the beginning of the season was just so incredible. My 5 years on the national team, that's all we talked about was having another option to play. We only get together every couple of months for different camps and stuff. So being able to actually get back into that rhythm of almost like a college schedule. You know, you practice during the week and then you're on the road on the weekends and you're with your team a little bit more often and playing games. So I hadn't been able to do that since, you know, 2009. So that was just awesome for me personally, I guess. But finally having a professional league for women and then on top of that being able to get paid for it was pretty awesome.
And, of course, one thing you got to do last season was what many people consider an upset. You defeated the second-place Connecticut Whale to go on to the Isabel Cup against the Boston Pride. What was that like for you going in the playoffs?
That actually goes up in my top three probably favorite hockey moments. We hadn't beaten them all year, and it was just so frustrating playing against them because I think we went into overtime with them at least three times in the, you know, how many times we played them last year. So it was, we knew we could do it and we were so close all the time. We just couldn't get there. So to wait till the end of the season and playoffs and then beat them to then go on to the finals was sweet. It was a long time coming for us, I think.
And then what was it like playing in the championship game against the Boston Pride?
It was cool. We gave them a game for sure. I think on paper that we were not supposed to win those games. In our locker room, we thought we could do it, and we almost did. We also took them into overtime, and then I think an arguable call this penalty shot in overtime that will haunt us for the rest of our life. But that was a tough loss, game one, losing it in the a penalty shot in overtime. And then even the second game was pretty close. If I remember correctly, we were 3-1 in the third period, and then we got a call, a goal called back on us, and they had scored on a power play. So it was back and forth. I feel like even though the rosters were pretty lopsided, we gave them a game, and it could have gone either way, both games, I think.
All right. Now, going into this season, you re-signed with the Buffalo Buttes. What is it about the Buffalo Buttes that made you want to re-sign with them for this season?
Well, originally, last season, when we heard that the NWHL was going to be a thing, that there was going to be a team in Buffalo, for me, that was the closest distance. I don't have, you know, the luxury to move somewhere. I'm married, I have a house in Pittsburgh, so for me to even play in the league was going to have to be a commute. So it's 3.5 hours that I drive every single weekend to games. But actually having a full season with them and experiencing the other teams, it was, even if I was able to go somewhere else, I wouldn't want to. My teammates in Buffalo were just awesome. It made it so much fun to play hockey with those girls. So the distance was one, and then just being able to play in Buffalo, it's such a hockey town. So that made it fun, and we had, I think, I'm obviously biased, but I think we had the best fans in the league as well. We struggled in the beginning of the year. I don't think we had a win till 2016, and we still had our fans there every single game. That was pretty cool.
Now, going into this season, you're 7 games in, and you're 2-4-0-1 right now with 5 points. You're tied for second with the New York Riveters, who are 2-3-0-1 with 5 points as well. Should also note that the Connecticut Whale are only 1 point behind both of you. So you're going into this, like, going into this new stretch, going into the All-Star break now, you have your three teams going up against fighting for second place behind the Boston Pride, who have 12 points. What is one thing that you're hoping with this team to going forward? Like, what improvements do you hope this team is able to make going forward?
I think we just need to gel together a little bit more. It took us a while last year to kind of figure out who we were and what was going to make us successful. We were just trying to do too much in the beginning. And once we figured out that the harder we work and we would just kind of beat people up all game and block shots and hopefully get a couple goals here and there. And we started winning games. So we remembered that, and we tried to keep that in mind for this season. But we also have a whole new group. So I think it's getting everybody on board with that. I think we're still trying to be a little bit fancy and trying to outskill people. And that's just not what we've proven the Buffalo Buttes a way to be successful. So we need to go back to that and just go back to working hard and having fun with each other. And I remember every game last year was a blast. It didn't matter whether we were losing 7-0 or we were up 2-1. The whole locker room was smiled. We loved playing together. So we need to get back to that, I think. We had a couple victories early on, which we weren't used to from last year. And I don't know if that, we decided to play differently after we won or what, but those last few games were a little bit of a disaster. So I'm hoping with this road trip coming up, it's our opportunity to travel together and spend some time on the bus and in the hotel. And sometimes that's the funnest part of being on a team like that, is being able to travel together. And we'll learn a little bit more about one another. And the more games we play, the more we're learning. So we just got to keep digging away at that.
Now, you mentioned you're about to go on a road trip. We'll get to that in a moment. But your last game was against the Boston Pride. And you faced almost 50 shots that game in the defeat. What do you as the Buttes have to do, and not just the Buttes, but the other teams in the league as well, what do you have to do to beat this team, the Boston Pride?
Well, we've done it before, and I think it's just everything that I just touched on. You know, their roster is just unbelievable. I think they have almost every single kid on their team has at one point wore a USA jersey before. And I think that national team mentality is just so different. So being able to train at that level, it's a whole different ball game. And we have a couple on our roster that have played with the national team and are still competing at that national level. And they know how to get it done all the time. You know, that's their MO on the national team. They know how to finish. They know how to win games, and we're still learning. So the games that we have played and been successful against them are just what I had talked about with blocking shots and just being a pain in the butt to play against. The more we're on them, the more uncomfortable we saw them being. So I think building on our conditioning and being able to do that for 60 minutes is tough. So that's something we're just going to have to keep building and building, and hopefully sometimes sooner rather than later, being able to keep up at that speed and that intensity for a full 60 minutes.
Now, you're going up against New York Revenants this weekend at the Barnabas Health Hockey House in Newark, New Jersey. How do you prepare for this game against the Revenants, being how this is the first time you're going back to this arena, but first time going into this arena as the home ice for the New York Revenants?
I don't know. I think as a goalie, you prepare the same no matter who you're going to play. I guess the difference is playing them before, I know against Boston I'm going to get 50 shots. Against New York, I might not. So I guess it is a little bit different, you know, knowing that staying in the game and staying focused when you're not getting shot on. But as a team, you prepare the same no matter who you're playing. But we've only played them one time, so I don't think we gave them our best game last time we played. So we just need to, you know, stick to it, do what we do that makes us successful.
All right. Well, Brianne, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to more NWHL coverage here on the Experience Hockey Talk starting next Wednesday when we start doing NWHL Wednesday here on the Experience Hockey Talk. And every time we have the NWHL on, we'll also be brought to you by Farpoint. Farpoint, which is February 17th through 19th, 2017 at the Radisson Hotel, North Baltimore in Timonium, Maryland. Come see special guests like Sam Witwer, Enver Jokai, and many others. For more information, go to farpointcon.com. Are you a fan of Maryland Championship Wrestling and want to watch past shows? Then never fear, as Rage TV is here for you. For only $4.99 a month, you can relive memories of the shows you have been to or watch past MCW shows you may have not been able to attend live. For more information and to sign up today for Rage TV, go to mcwragetv.com. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And ladies and gentlemen, as you heard, I had Brianne McLaughlin of the Buffalo Buttes on the podcast promoting the fact that starting next Wednesday, we will be doing NWHL Wednesday. I know a lot of people are going like, well, what happened to NWHL Tuesday? Well, you know, scheduling conflicts, as everyone always heard, you know, trying to get interviews. You know, things just wasn't working with the time, the day that we had it originally set. And with the time off that this podcast has had in November, we were able to sit down, rehammer out some stuff. We decided to change the day to Wednesday, which works out a little bit better scheduling-wise, not just for myself, but for the NWHL. And NWHL Wednesday is the place to be for all your NWHL talk. And ladies and gentlemen, speaking of that, we also had an announcement that happened today, and that was New York Revenants forward Morgan Fritz Ward announced that she will end her professional hockey career after the New York Revenants' two games this weekend. The final games of the 23-year-old Fritz Ward's career will be on Saturday, tomorrow, when the Revenants host the Buffalo Buttes, and on Sunday when the Revenants host Boston Pride. Both games are at the Barnabas Health Hockey House in Newark. So this is a
very shocking thing to come out all of a sudden. Morgan Fritz Ward announcing that she was retiring after this weekend. We'll have more information about that on Wednesday on NWHL Wednesday. But without further ado, and I'm so happy to hear this music come back once again, but ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for NHL News and Notes. And ladies and gentlemen, we're actually going to backtrack even further to November 21st when the 2017 Honda NHL All-Star Game was announced, will once again feature the NHL All-Star Fan Vote and the 3-on-3 All-Star Tournament showcasing the NHL's most talented star players from each division, which was announced by the National Hockey League and the Players Association. Hockey fans again will determine the four All-Star captains in the 2017 NHL All-Star Fan Vote, with the top vote-getters by division, regardless of position, named All-Stars and Captains. The remaining 40 NHL All-Stars will be named by the NHL Hockey Operations. Each team will be made up of 11 players from each division, which will be 6 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 2 goaltenders. Player eligibility guidelines for the NHL All-Star Fan Vote has changed since last season, a.k.a., as we call it, the John Scott Rule. The 2017 NHL All-Star Fan Vote will allow fans to vote for one All-Star player from each division without regard to position. The top vote-getter from each division will be named an NHL All-Star as well as captain of his respective team. Eligible players must be on an NHL club's active roster as of November 1st. Any player not on the active roster on that date due to injury or special circumstances can be added to the ballot if when he returns to the NHL club's active roster. If a player is assigned / loaned to the American Hockey League or any other minor league team between November 1st and 5 p.m. Eastern on January 26th, the player is not eligible in All-Star balloting. However, if the minor league assignment loan is due to conditioning reasons, the player remains eligible. In the event a vote-get leader is disqualified due to a minor league assignment or loan or other reason after close of the NHL All-Star Fan Vote on January 2nd, the player with the second most votes in that division will be named captain. Fans will be permitted to vote for a player from a list of all players that meet these eligibility guidelines. The list of eligible players will be updated as players are assigned to a minor league team or return from IR. So there you have it. You have your NHL John Scott Rule for the All-Star Game right there with all the eligibility clarifications for a player to be allowed to be voted on by us, the fans. So everyone's got to find out who that player they want to be the guy that they get behind, and then vote for him. But I think the days of seeing a John Scott or somebody like him getting into it just isn't going to happen now. On November 26th, Alex Galchenyuk scored with 1:23 left in overtime, and the league-leading Montreal Canadiens improved to 16-4-2. Carey Price made 32 saves to improve to 13-1-1 and has allowed one goal or fewer in 9 of his 15 starts. Also, the Los Angeles Kings earned a 2-1 overtime victory against the Chicago Blackhawks to secure their 6th consecutive home win and 5th straight overall victory. Jeff Carter scored in overtime his 4th game-winning goal in the past 5 games. Then on November 27th, the Los Angeles Kings are celebrating their golden anniversary, and they have revealed a monument that commemorates 50 years in the NHL. The Kings unveiled the 50th anniversary monument outside Staples Center on Saturday, a 12-foot marble wall that features images of the most memorable moments from their existence. Artist Itamar Amrani, Julie Amrani, and Omri Amrani of the fine art studio of Robotat Amrani collaborated to create the monument, which features a combination of laser-etched images and statuesque properties that chronicle great moments in Kings history. Kings legends and Hockey Hall of Famers, including Wayne Gretzky, Roger Vachon, Luc Robitaille, Marcel Dion, and Rob Blake, are among the prominent former players featured. The monument was dedicated to the Kings organization and its fans and supporters. Its most dramatic image is a slap shot, which starts with Dion winding up with progresses through different Kings eras, culminating with present-day Kings forward Dustin Brown lifting the Stanley Cup after Los Angeles' first championship in 2012. Among the moments also encapsulated are the Kings' entrance into the NHL, Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Miller's first Kings game on October 10, 1973, the team's famous comeback dubbed the Miracle in Manchester on April 10, 1982, and their acquisition of Gretzky from the Edmonton Oilers on August 9, 1988. Jamie McKinn scored the tie-breaking goal with 3:44 remaining in the third period, and Mike Smith made 41 saves and a 2-1 victory to extend the Arizona Coyotes' point streak against the Edmonton Oilers to 25 games, dating back to March 17, 2011. Craig Anderson stopped all 32 shots he faced for his third shutout of the season and propelled the Senators to their fourth straight win. Anderson improved to 12-4-1 with a 2.03 goals against average and a .936 save percentage. Winnipeg Jets goaltender Connor Hellebuck made 42 saves for his second shutout of the season per Eliash. It marked the fourth time in Jets Atlanta Thrashers history a goaltender made 40 or more saves to earn a shutout. Boston Bruins goaltender Tuukka Rask's shutout bid ended with 2:39 remaining in the third period, but he earned the win to improve the 12-4-0 this season. He ranks among the league leaders in wins, goals against average, save percentage, and shutouts. Appearing in his 107th NHL game, but making his first NHL start since January 27, 2013 with the Flyers, goaltender Michael Layden made 31 saves to help the Carolina Hurricanes rally from a two-goal deficit to win. It marked Layden's first NHL win since December 30th, 2010, when he helped the Flyers beat the Los Angeles Kings 7-4. Speaking of the Flyers, Philadelphia Flyers goaltender Anthony Stolarz made 29 saves in his NHL debut to earn his first career win. The 22-year-old native of Edison, New Jersey, was drafted by the Flyers in the second round of the 2012 NHL draft. And something that was very shocking that night was the Florida Panthers fired coach Gerard Gallant on Sunday. I've been let go, Gallant told NHL.com prior to leaving PNC Arena in a taxi following a 3-2 loss against the Carolina Hurricanes. General manager Tom Rowe was named interim head coach for the remainder of the 2016-17 season. In addition to Gallant, assistant coach Mike Kelly was also fired. That was extremely shocking, and honestly, to me, I thought that was a very stupid thing of the Florida Panthers to do. So we'll have to see how that pans out for the Panthers this season. Then, on November 28th, the NHL Stars of the Week ending 11-27 were announced. Your first star was Craig Anderson, goalie of the Ottawa Senators. Anderson paced the NHL with 4 wins, compiling a 1.25 goals against average, 9.60 save percentage, and 1 shutout in 4 appearances to lift the Senators into second place in the Atlantic Division. Second star was Michael Camilleri, left winger of the New Jersey Devils. Camilleri led the NHL with 4 goals and 8 points to power the Devils to a 1-0-2 record in his 3 appearances. And the third star was Brent Burns, defenseman of the San Jose Sharks. Burns ranked first among defensemen with 2 goals, 4 assists, and 6 points in 4 outings as the Sharks won 3 of their 4 games to maintain second place in the Pacific Division. Also that night, the Dallas Stars tied the game twice in the third period, but Vladimir Tarasenko scored the winning goal with a 1:36 remaining in overtime to help the St. Louis Blues extend their home winning streak to 5 games. Then on November 29th, Austin Matthews scored the opening goal less than 6 minutes into his second NHL game against Connor McDavid to spur the Maple Leafs to their second straight victory. Jack Eichel, who skated in his first game since injuring his knee during practice October 12th, had a goal and an assist within the first 10 minutes of the game to spark the Buffalo Sabres to victory, ending their road losing skid and the Ottawa Senators' winning streak at 4 games apiece. Eichel has a point in each of his past 6 games since March 31st against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Patrick Laine scored the eventual game-winning goal in the third period to help the Winnipeg Jets extend their home win streak to 5 games. He shares second in the NHL with 13 goals and leads the league with 11 goals on home ice, one more than Washington Capitals forward Alex Ovechkin. The Chicago Blackhawks and New York Rangers each closed November with their league-leading 10th win in the month, while the Columbus Blue Jackets and Nashville Predators also ended an impressive month on a high note for themselves as well. Then on November 30th, the Pittsburgh Penguins erased a 3-goal deficit in the third period, but Anders Lee scored with 26.6 seconds remaining in the third period, and Nikolai Kuhlman scored an insurance goal 3 seconds later to lead the Islanders to their second straight victory. The Islanders tied the NHL record for the fastest 2 goals by one team, previously accomplished by the St. Louis Eagles against the Detroit Red Wings on March 12, 1935, and by the Minnesota Wild against the Chicago Blackhawks on January 21, 2004. Freddie Hamilton and Chris Versteeg scored in the opening minute of regulation to lift the Flames to a 3-1-1 record in their past 5 games. The Calgary Flames scored 2 goals in the first minute of a game for the third time. Then on December 1st, yesterday, the NHL Players of the Month for November and the Rookie of the Month were both announced for November. First start of the month was Pekka Rinne, goalie of the Nashville Predators. Rinne shared the league lead with 9 wins and paced the NHL with a 1.49 goals against average and a 0.949 save percentage in 12 appearances to guide the Predators to a 9-3-2 November. He allowed 2 or fewer goals in 10 of his 12 outings, including his 41st career shutout on November 12 versus Anaheim. The second star of the month of November was Nikita Kucherov, right winger of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Kucherov placed second in the NHL in both goals and points in 15 November outings to power the Lightning to an 8-6-1 month. He registered at least 1 point in 10 of his 15 appearances, including 5 multi-point efforts. And then the third star was Connor McDavid, center of the Edmonton Oilers. McDavid paced the league with 6 goals, 13 assists, 19 points in 15 games as the Oilers posted a 5-8-2 November. He picked up at least 1 point in 11 of his 15 outings, highlighted by his first career hat trick on November 13th at Dallas. McDavid registered 4 other multi-point performances, including 2 additional 3-point games. And then the Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski, who led rookie blue liners and shared third place among all first-year players with 3 goals, 7 assists, and 10 points in 14 games, has been named the NHL's Rookie of the Month for November. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to go over last night's game between the New York Islanders and the Washington Capitals, go over the rest of the NHL news and notes, and make a couple more big announcements when we come back. All right.
Tilted Kilt Girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the final stretch of the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go over last night's action, starting off the New York Islanders versus the Washington Capitals, the Capitals' first game in 4 days. The lineups for the New York Islanders was Brock Nelson with John Tavares and Josh Bailey, Andrew Ladd with Ryan Strome and Shane Prince, Nikolaj Kulemin with Alan Queen and Jason Chimera, Anders Lee with Casey Zizekas and Kyle Clutterbuck. Defense was Nick Leddy with Johnny Boychuk, Thomas Hickey with Travis Hamonic, Calvin DeHaan with Dennis Seidenberg, and Yaroslav Halak in the net. For the Washington Capitals, it was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and Marcus Johansson, Andre Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Jacob Verana, who was making his NHL debut, Brett Connolly with Lars Eller and Justin Williams, Daniel Winnick with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. On defense was Dmitry Orlov with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Nate Schmidt, and Braden Holtby in the net. In the first period, it was Alex Ovechkin being called for interference 3:49 into the game, then Brock Nelson being called for tripping at 13:25, and Calvin DeHaan being called for hooking at 18:04. At the end of the period, it was nothing-nothing between the two teams. Shots were tied at 11 apiece. Faceoffs were 11-8 in favor of the Caps. Hits were tied at 11 apiece, and the power play was 0-for-1 for both teams, with the Caps' second one in progress. This was a good period for the Capitals. They had a slow start to the period, but as the period went on, the Capitals got better. Definitely some really good chances to score this period. The Capitals need to break this game open with their speed. If they can get the Islanders moving and tired, this would help the Capitals out. In the second period, Alex Ovechkin would be called for slashing at 11:17. Then Thomas Hickey would be called for interference at 13:18. And Anders Lee would be called for high-sticking at 18:08. Once again, at the end of the period, the Caps and the Islanders would be tied at 0 apiece. Shots were 22-20 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 21-18 in favor of the Islanders. Hits were 18-16 in favor of the Islanders. And on the power play, the Islanders were 0-for-2 and the Caps were 0-for-3 with their fourth in progress. This was an okay period for the Capitals. They were able to generate good scoring chances, but were unable to capitalize on any of them or on their power plays thus far. The Capitals need to start making the most of their opportunities and start making the most on any more power plays that they get. Then in the third period, 37 seconds in, Johnny Boychuk was called for delay of game. At 3:15, however, Shane Prince would score for the Islanders, his fourth of the season, from Casey Zizekas. Then at 6:43, Brock Nelson would get a goal, his sixth of the season, from John Tavares and Josh Bailey. Then at 7:43, Jason Chimera would score his third of the season from Andrew Ladd. Then Calvin DeHaan would be called for interference at 8:26. At the end of the game, the Islanders would win 3-0. Shots were 38-29 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 29-28 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 22-21 in favor of the Islanders. And on the power play, the Islanders were 0-2, and the Capitals were 0-6. And this was not the way the Caps wanted it. Just that 4.5 minute period in the third period where the Islanders were able to just take advantage of mistakes. One thing I would definitely say is that Orlov was the key reason for two of those goals. I would not expect to see him in the lineup tomorrow against Tampa Bay if I was Barry Trotz. I think Orlov needs to see a game from the press box, at least one or two games, to get himself back into things mentally as a player. Just outright sloppy on his part. But I also think that the 4 days off kill the Caps. You know, you can't, and it's going to be stupid come February because that's when the bye week happens. And I'm sorry, but we're not a bunch of pansies like the NFL where we need a bye week. So this is a result of not playing for four days. And then, of course, you know, in February, we're going to have this again where they don't play for like 6 or 7 days, which I think is even worse. So, yeah, this is part of it. So, you know, I hope tomorrow the Caps get their heads back to get into it. They go up against the Tampa Bay Lightning team, who hasn't been the best team so far this season. So this is something where the Capitals needs to take advantage of that. So, all right, enough about my ranting and raving on these last two games. Now it's time for more NHL news and notes. For the St. Louis Blues, Vladimir Tarasenko would have his third NHL hat trick and equal to career high with 4 points to help the St. Louis Blues extend their home point streak to 11 games, including 6 straight wins by defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sidney Crosby redirected his own rebound out of midair from behind the Dallas Stars net to score the first of 4 consecutive goals for the Pittsburgh Penguins, including 3 in a span of 1:33. The Penguins are now 9-2-1 at home. Crosby leads the NHL with 16 goals in 18 games. Jack Eichel scored the tying and game-winning goals in a span of 1:43 as the Buffalo Sabres improved to 4-1-1 in their past 6 contests by rallying to defeat the New York Rangers. Eichel has 3 goals, 1 assist, and 4 points in 2 games since returning to the lineup on Tuesday and has at least 1 point in each of his past 7 NHL games dating back to March 31st. And Connor McDavid assisted on 3 of Edmonton Oilers' 6 goals, including 2 by Leon Draisaitl, to help Edmonton stretch its road point streak to 4 games. McDavid extended his point streak to 7 games with his 10th multi-point performance of the season. He leads the NHL in scoring with 11 goals. With 11 goals, 23 assists, and 34 points in 25 games. And ladies and gentlemen, as I also mentioned in announcements, the Experience Hockey Talk is going to be returning to the Tilted Kilt on Friday, December 9th, when the Capitals take on the Buffalo Sabres, and on Friday, December 16th, against when the Capitals take on the Carolina Hurricanes. So come to the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. Come see me, come watch the hockey. I'll be recording live from the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, as always. So, as always, we're always brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls. For more on Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And as always, you can follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk and on Twitter at Experience Hockey. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we will be back on Monday with a weekend wrap-up on this weekend's action in the NHL. And then on Wednesday, we'll be doing NWHL Wednesday. And so until next time, we will see you on the ice.